Thank you, President. And it's indeed an honor to be here today to give the commencement address and to congratulate the students of the class of 2005. As well as your parents and friends who help make this day possible as well. We're gathered here today to celebrate an important event in your life, a day you've worked so hard to have, a day which marks the end of one adventure in your life and the beginning of another. For life truly is and should be a series of great adventures, a series of journeys within journeys, circles within circles. Now, I am sure that most of you have mixed emotions about today. You are glad your four-day journey in education is over, but you are also nervous, I'm sure, about what lies ahead. You're not so sure about your next adventure in life, and you're probably questioning whether or not you've made the right decision. But it's important to remember that all journeys in life begin with a dream to become someone, a dream to do something important in life which you and your friends and parents will be proud of. When you're growing up, dreams were and still are a major part of your life. Everyone should dream dreams and then try to make those dreams come true. For me, as you can imagine, my dreams dealt with adventure. My heroes were people like Marco Polo, Captain James Cook, and mythical characters out of Jules Verne's novels. And clearly, one of my greatest heroes of all came from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, with its nuclear submarine Nautilus and its great Captain Nemo. My biggest dream when I was a little boy was to build a submarine myself and sail around the world underwater, to be Captain Nemo and look out of his magical window and to see things that no one had ever seen before. But all of us have different kinds of dreams, different goals in life to pursue, and it's hard at times to know which dream to pursue since so many can race through our minds as we're growing up. It's easy to question your decision as to what you should do in one case or another. To me, sometimes I was paralyzed at times by indecision, fearful that I might have been making the wrong choice or that I might be going down the wrong road. But if you have such fears, and I'm sure you do, put them aside, for life truly is the act of becoming. You never arrive. It's the journey that counts. Isn't it amazing how much time and energy mountain climbers spend planning and executing their ascent of Mount Everest, followed by the meager amount of time they actually spend there once they summit the mountain? It was the act of climbing that took them to the top, not a desire to get there and stay there. The question that you need to be asking yourself is which mountain in life should you pick to climb, which dream to pursue? I would like to share with you some of the important insight that I've gained over the years and has helped me pick the mountains in life that I chose to climb. The most important thing I discovered is not whether the mountain is in Asia or Europe or, in my case, beneath the sea. The most important thing is that the mountain you choose should be high. I discovered early on that if you climb a mountain that's, say, 1,000 feet tall, and you fall off that mountain and break your neck, you're just as dead had you picked a mountain and fallen off one that was 30,000 feet tall. You're dead all the same, so why not pick a giant mountain? I also discovered that it was just as hard to climb 1,000-foot mountain as it was to climb one that was 30,000 feet tall. People that climb tall mountains get up the same time in the morning and go to bed the same time in the evening as those that climb little ones. They have to put up with the same amount of trials and tribulations each day. It's just as easy or just as hard to climb a mountain that's tall as it is to climb a little one. So I recommend to you, all of you, go for it. When you wake up and when you walk up on the stage today and receive your diploma, when you reach the summit of your present dream, a dream that has taken 4 years to reach, you will only spend a few seconds on this stage. But when you look out at your parents and friends and see how proud they are, you will realize that this 4-year journey was well worth the effort. What is also important about climbing a tall mountain in life instead of a small one is that it takes a longer time to climb. That gives you a lot of time along the way to think about what you're doing and gives you an opportunity to enjoy the process. If you can reach the top of a mountain in just an hour or a day, it wasn't worth your time to climb. I have found that if you pick a distant summit in the clouds to pursue, time is on your side. And I have found that I was able to make a lot of fascinating side trips along the way, side trips that enriched my life. But since I had that distant summit on the horizon to guide me, I found that I didn't get lost along the way. I always knew how to get back on the trail once my side trip was ended. I also discovered that tall mountains frighten a lot of people off. As a result, there aren't that many climbing them. The path up to the summit is less crowded, less congested, and in fact, easier to climb. So I advise you to have big dreams and climb tall mountains. Now, when I was growing up, the land masses of the world were largely explored. The frontiers were in space and underwater. Space fascinated me, and it still does, but the oceans fascinated me even more. I don't know why, but I'm sure it was the pull of Neptune or the pull of Nemo, that as I was growing up in San Diego and the sea was so much a part of my life, literally, the sea was my backyard, right at the doorstep of my home. I can vividly remember as a little boy walking along the beautiful sandy beaches of Southern California, searching for treasure washed ashore by the tide. I remember one day finding a Japanese fishing float that had traveled across the broad breadth of the Pacific Ocean that covers a third of our planet, a journey that must have taken years to complete. And finally, that float washed up on the shore, lying there for a little boy to discover. I can remember exploring the countless tidal pools at low tide, each a world unto itself. One might have a small school of fish racing around trying to find a way out. Another, an octopus, hiding inside a tiny cave, hoping not to be seen. And then there was the ever-present sea anemone, which closed when I touched them, or the small crabs, ready to stand their ground and fight to the death should I try to pick them up. As I was growing up, the sea was always a part of my life. I graduated from walking along the sandy beaches of Southern California and investigating those tidal pools to body surfing and scuba diving. For some reason, I never had an interest in the top of the sea, though. For that matter, the sea itself. I was fascinated by the land beneath the sea. That's what held my fascination. Perhaps it was my love of mountains. Every time I put on my air tank, the first thing I did is I went straight to the bottom. While in high school, I wrote a letter, almost a Dear Santa Claus letter, to the Scripps Institute of Oceanography in La Jolla, in California, a place I'd visited many times before to see their aquarium or to fish on their pier if I could sneak out on the pier. It always had a lock on it, and I'd sneak out until they found me. Great Corbina fishing until they caught you. And when I wrote that letter, this Dear Santa Claus letter, a kind scientist at Scripps answered my letter and told me I could apply for a summer scholarship. I was 17 years old, and the summer of 1959 gave me my first great adventures with the sea. On our first cruise, we were hit by a great storm and limped back into port. On the second cruise, our ship almost sunk when we were hit by a rogue wave, which knocked out the windows in the bridge and exploded the portholes in the galley. It was awesome to watch the wave, over 100 feet tall, crash over the ship. I was hooked for life. I was too young to know you could die in such a situation. My childhood dreams, as I said, have always dealt with the sea. But before I could live them, before I could go on my first marine adventure, I had to, like you, prepare myself. Going to college for 4 years has helped to prepare you for the future so that you can pursue your dreams in life. By attending class, it has prepared your mind. By participating in sports, it has taught you the value of discipline and teamwork. By participating in school organizations or student government, it has taught you the value of leadership. So your childhood is spent dreaming and your young adulthood spent preparing, but the moment finally comes, like today, when it's time to venture forth. But if your dream is to be a big one, you'll need help. You'll need to be a part of a team. Initially, you'll follow, but then you'll lead. You'll never make a good leader. You'll never make a good leader unless you first learn how to follow other leaders. But on those initial journeys in life, when you are asked to pull your oar while others lead, learn what it takes to be a team player. Learn how to get along with others. Learn what loyalty and honesty are all about. Everyone can get to the top of their mountain in life by taking shortcuts, by climbing over the bodies of others. But if you take that route, your time on the top will be short-lived, and making it to the next summit in your life, the next mountain you may try to climb, will more than likely be blocked by the very people you climbed over to get to your last summit. Finally, after working for years to help someone else live their dream, your turn will come. And when you lead your team on your first adventure in life, be prepared to fail initially. For no quest is worth pursuing that doesn't require you to pass many tests, take numerous risks. Jason, on the journey with the Argonauts, had to tame the wild bulls. Ulysses had to resist the sirens calling him onto the rocks. And Captain Nemo, well, as you all know, he had to deal with the giant squid. Every major adventure I have ever been on over the years has tested me severely with bad storms and the loss of equipment. My first attempt to find the Titanic with my French colleagues ended in failure. My first expedition to find the Bismarck failed as well. The test you must pass is not whether you fall down along the way, for surely you will. The important test is whether you can get back up after being knocked down and risk failure again. The journeys you will now begin in life will test you to find how well you've prepared your mind. But the hardest tests of all will see how determined you are to live your dream, how strong is your heart. At times it will seem like the storms of life will never end, that the trials that you must pass seem to go on forever, but they will end. But only after your heart and your mind have been tested. I've lived through countless storms at seas, winds over 100 mile an hour, swells reaching over 100 feet, and when I thought I could not last another minute, the winds dropped off, the seas flattened, and the blue skies appeared, and my quest was reached. Be it the Titanic, the Bismarck, Yorktown, or whatever goal I sought, for me, Neptune would finally say, enough is enough, I'd passed the test. The sea calmed, and Neptune would pull back a veil of watery secrecy, and there was what I was looking for all along. There was the truth I sought. But your journey is not over. Once the goal is reached, your dream fulfilled, the truth attained. The journey is never over until you share what you have learned with others. Then and only then can you begin preparing yourself for your next adventure. Sharing is the final step in your journey when you give back what you have learned. Now, I'm sure giving is something that may not interest you right now, but always remember that life is never fulfilled your journey never over until you take time to give back a portion of what has been given to you to others. So I congratulate all of you for dreaming dreams and preparing yourself to live those dreams. But it's time to move on to the next adventure in your life. And when life knocks you down, as it will, lay there for a second. Reflect upon what has happened. Learn from your mistake. But then get back up and don't let anyone ever stop you from fulfilling your dreams. Good luck, class of 2005.